Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Let's bring him in now, Paul Allen. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst.
Are you kidding me?
Need the latest news and analysis on your Green and Gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emig is brought to you by the Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property since 1906 at sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, so they've got most of the staff in place. Now it's decision-making time. I asked Eric Brancheck this. I'll ask you. If you had to start picking apart the roster and say there's some dead weight here, whether it's physically or financially, top couple of guys that you'd have to take a serious look at and say, will they or will they not be back with the team this year?
Yeah, good question. I think the part with not – if you don't look at the contracts of it and you maybe look at the dead weight from just a, you know, who are the bottom 10 guys on the roster, I think we're looking at a team in 2018. If Ryan Gutekunst is going to build this team the way that he – envisions, or the way that he at least said he envisions it during his opening press conference, I think the bottom 10 of the roster are going to look different. Like, for the most part, under Ted Thompson's regime, you had a situation where, you know, 5 to 10 spots were pretty much reserved for guys who were developmental, who were, you know, undrafted free agents. And there's a reason that a lot of agents across the league wanted their undrafted players, who they were the, you know, who the agents for these guys, to go to Green Bay. It's because there was a good chance of making the roster, because Ted Thompson, basically held those spots for those type of players. I think it's going to be a much more veteran-laden team, and that the you know, maybe guys who this past year would have been the 42nd, 43rd, 44th best players on the roster are now going to be the last three spots. You know, they're going to fall back 10 spots in the pecking order, because if, you know, this team does need more veteran presence, it needs an influx of top-tier players. And it would seem like that's how Gutekunst is going to build the roster. At least that's how he seems to want to plan to build the roster. If you look at the more high-salary guys, you know, the Packers are – let's put this out there first. They're fine financially. They have cap space. Even after extending Davante Adams and Corey Linsley, there is cap space. The question is there a guy or two in free agency who are big-ticket items? Is there a – do you want to go out and spend – $15 million a year on Malcolm Butler, on Trumaine Johnson, you know, someone who's going to command a hefty price tag? And then if you need to then trim, you know, if you need to cut Jordan Nelson's salary in half or Randall Cobb's salary in half, can you convince those guys to do that? Or are you okay with the possibility of presenting them with that, them saying no, and then having to basically cut them? And sure, then you save the $12 million you need. So there are, you know, Brian Bulaga making $7 million. So you could – if Jason Spriggs is ready and Brian Bulaga is not healthy to begin with, and let's say you trust Spriggs to be the guy either way, that's some money savings. So there's ways you can do it. And, I mean, the big name that I haven't said yet, of course, is Clay Matthews. And I just don't know, given where this defense is, which already lacks for playmakers, and I know Clay Matthews is at a point where some people question if his production is worth what he's being paid from a cap number perspective. Unless he's willing to take a lesser number, and that's a huge ask for these players. And then we talk about it, so like, oh, just tell them to take less money. Oh, not that simple. I don't know if you get a new defensive coordinator in and bring in new defensive talent, but then say, you know, but then wave goodbye to Clay Matthews. I just don't know if that makes sense at this point. So then you're really looking at big numbers of Cobb, Nelson, Bulaga, and I don't know if there's another big number on the book that you could cut or waive that would save you a bunch of money. But again, the money is there to do things without having to cut anybody. It's just, if you do go out and get maybe two high price tag guys, that's when you'd have to start looking at, you know, who can you live without and how big of a cap savings would that be?
When you talk about Clay Matthews, I want to go back to him specifically, because last night we got into this discussion and said, well, productivity wise, on and on and on. And I started looking at the numbers and I thought, you know what? instead of cutting him, it might make more sense because, like you said, he still is one of your better players. If indeed he would be committed to going to the inside if you find an edge rusher, it might make more sense to extend him a couple of years, give him some additional money, extend out that signing bonus a little bit, bring that number down, and that way you have him for another 3 years, including next year, the upcoming season, rather than just kind of cutting off your nose to spite your face to save yourself some additional money. Would you agree?
I do, and I think that's – so actually, it was 2 days ago that I brought up with you the idea of doing something similar for Randall Cobb or for Jordy Nelson. So you're in the same situation here with Clay Matthews that you are with those guys. If you envision them, if you're Gutekunst and you envision them being a part of your team in 2019 and beyond, even if it's just for another year or two, like, you know, Nelson has the 1 year left, Cobb has the 1 year left. If you want those guys to be with you for three more years instead of one more year, whether that's Nelson, whether that's Cobb, whether that's Clay Matthews, this is the chance to do that by giving them an extension, which can affect the cap number for the upcoming season. So if you do need to go out and sign those two, you know, big price tag free agents, which I'm sure would be a dream come true for most Packers fans who have gotten sick of, you know, Ted Thompson and his lack of anything of major significance for the most part, but at the same time, you don't want to get rid of Nelson or Cobb or Matthews. That is where it comes into play, Bill, and I think that is where I can see this going. Maybe Cobb wants to stick around, and he would like to have 2 years added to his deal. Maybe Clay Matthews has the same thing going through his head in terms of, well, you know, sure, I'll restructure. It's not, you know, you add a year or two, but what it lets you do is it lets you spread out that cap number. And if you need the cap room in 2018 to go get one of those big-ticket free agents, this is a great way to kind of play salary cap math. You can juggle the puzzle pieces around. And let's face it, this is why Russ Ball, there's a lot of reasons that the Packers organization values Russ Ball, but none more so than for things like this, where he can go in and do all the cap gymnastics, and he can figure out, okay, if we add 2 years to Clay Matthews' deal, and we can kind of bury some money here, we can put some money there, and at the end of the day, it saved us cap room in 2018 that we need for another player, then everybody wins, right? Like, the player's not feeling as if they got shortchanged because, well, you know, now I'm playing for half the money I was supposed to, so I'm going to go test my value elsewhere. It keeps them in-house. Because, listen, the Packers are a better team in 2018 if Nelson, Cobb, and Matthews are all a part of this team. It just, that's undeniable. It's just how much are they worth and how much can you have in your cap dedicated to these guys? And if they can make it all work where they give extensions here or there so that the cap number is lower in 18, it's a win-win-win for everybody.
So I would do the same. I would probably invest some money, keep him around, be able to help Blake Martinez, who continuously gets better. How much better do you think Blake Martinez can actually get?
Yeah, I don't know how high the ceiling is, Bill, but I think the fact that he took the jump he did from year one to year two tells you there's a lot more to unlock. The guys who took really big year two jumps, of course, the first that pop out in my mind are Kenny Clark and Blake Martinez. I think Kenny Clark, given, you know, he's just 22 years old, he came into the league really undersized because his body hadn't fully developed. He was only 20 years old when he got drafted, and he's already that good as a year two player. His ceiling to me seems almost limitless. He could be extremely, extremely good. I don't know if Blake Martinez has that same high of ceiling, but he's going to be a really consistent, well above average. I'm not trying to sell him as like an average player. Blake Martinez had a really good year two. If he can build on that year three and year four, you're talking about having a very good, not like a top five inside linebacker, where I think Kenny Clark could be a top five in the league interior defensive player. I don't know if Martinez has that in his position group, but he's a smart, good, consistent player who rarely makes, you know, big, costly mistakes in his coverage schemes or in his, you know, in terms of letting a running back get past him or across his corner. Very good player. Two very good second-year players with Kenny Clark and Blake Martinez, and I'm sure, you know, you're going to see Blake Martinez playing a lot of snaps for this team for, you know, obviously the last 2 years of his rookie contract, but I can't imagine if you were to pencil in 3 years from now that he's not a part of your, you know, the guys who you'd want to give an extension to a couple of years from now.
Going on real quick, and this is the last question, we'll make it quick, but going to the offensive side of the football, I had asked Eric Brandschak, Jarry Evans, very quiet, contemplating whether or not he wants to come back. How good of a player do you think he is?
I think he was surprisingly good. I mean, for a guy at his age, everyone came in and thought, well, the Packers didn't re-sign T.J. Lang. Jarry Evans has been around the block, but that's not necessarily a bad thing when you're pass protecting for Aaron Rodgers And I think quietly it was by far arguably the best offseason pickup that Ted Thompson had in 2017. There were flashier names, and Jari Evans wasn't exactly like, you know, the jump off the page headline, like, wow, what a flashy move by Ted Thompson. But it paid off. Now that T.J. Lang and Jari Evans, if they would have swapped places and Evans would have been a Lion and T.J. Lang would have stayed a Packer, keep in mind T.J. Lang got significantly more money than what Evans did, would you really have seen a difference between those two? And I don't think you would. And that's saying a lot about a guy who, in Evans, who's, what, 34 years old right now and has had played all those years in New Orleans. So if he wants to come back, if Jari Evans wants to come back and doesn't want to retire and wants to give us one more try in Green Bay, and he's willing to do so at, you know, $2 to $3 million-ish per year, he showed very little, if any, signs of aging this past season. And if you can get him on a one-year deal in that $2 to $3 million range, and you can keep McCray as your kind of swing guard backup guy, you know, again, that would be a slam dunk if Evans would be willing and looking into that type of role. I think he had a very good 2017, and again, I didn't see an age wall hit him all of a sudden. He seemed to perform just as well as he had in the recent years before that.
Paul, good stuff. We'll chat again soon, okay?
All right, Phil.
Appreciate it, man. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.